Composer and musician Danny Elfman keeps his dual musical careers separate. Rock fans know him as the lead singer and songwriter for the group Oingo Boingo. Moviegoers hear his film scores. His movie credits include Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Big Top Pee-wee, Beetlejuice, and the new Batman. With the exception of Big Top Pee-wee, they were each directed by Tim Burton. In the first of a two-part conversation with Danny Elfman, we talk about scoring his first films. Tomorrow we'll preview the score for Batman. This is music from Elfman's very first film, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. The first film that you scored was also the first film you worked on with Tim Burton, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. I think you'd worked on a small film before that, but really you had like no orchestral experience, either composing or or arranging. How did you get the job?
I haven't a clue. You'd have to ask Tim. He took an enormous gamble, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm lucky that he did.
Now, I read about you that you didn't read music, at least when you were in your teens and starting in rock bands, you didn't read music. Did you read music by the time you worked on Pee-wee? Yeah.
No, I didn't. Doing rock and roll for a decade, or a little over a decade, there really never is any reason to read music. There is so very little written music in that musical form.
So how did you write a score for a major motion picture without reading music?
I taught myself to write, basically, and you don't have to read to be able to write. I rely on memory and retaining pieces of music, even if it's a long piece of music, very clearly in my mind until I have the last note of it down on paper. So I get pretty obsessive and intense, especially if I'm working on a 7 or 8 minute cue, because it means keeping a lot of music going in my head at the same time.
So in other words, you can read what you've put down on paper, but nobody else could?
No, it would be the opposite. Anybody who knows how to read could read what I write on paper, except me. I have the most trouble reading it back, because I only read as fast as I write, which means one note at a time.
So you're using regular music notation, you just
write it
really slowly.
Yeah, I write pretty slow. I'm better now than I was when I started, but I'm still pretty slow if you compared me next to a lot of other composers, I'm sure.
Now, what about the orchestrations? There are wonderful uses of instruments in your scores. Do you choose them yourself?
Well, I choose the general groups of instruments, but I work very closely with Steve Bartek, who is my orchestrator, and sometimes I'm vague, and I'll leave it to him to divide up which woodwinds will be playing what, and I'll just write out for maybe several woodwind lines. Sometimes I'll get specific and say this line is for the first clarinet, and this one's for the English horn, this one's for the oboe. It depends, cue by cue. I might write anywhere from 5 staves to 16 or 20 staves, depending on how complex the cue is.
Since you weren't used to working with orchestras before, do you remember what it was like the first time you heard the main title for Pee-wee's Big Adventure played by the full orchestra?
Yeah, it really floored me. I think I became an addict for life. It wasn't actually the main titles. It was the second scene of the movie where Pee-wee rides this bicycle and he's winning this race. It's a dream that he's having. And the music was really big and loud. And that's why we elected to start with that piece instead of the titles, which were a little bit low-key. And I'd never heard anything sound so big in my life, because in rock and roll, we get loud, but it's not big in the same way.
¶¶
writing a film score, do you immerse yourself in music to prepare and to listen to a lot of music that would conjure up the kind of mood that you're going for?
No, when I'm writing, I don't listen to anything, ever. In fact, I have a family, and it gets pretty aggravating for them because even when I come up for dinner, any music that's playing in the house has to stop instantly.
That's interesting.
Because I'm carrying all the music in my head, and no matter what I'm doing during the day, I'm still actually working on a piece. Even when I'm sleeping at night, sometimes I'm dreaming about the piece of music that I'm working on. I get pretty crazy that way, so I don't want to hear anything else that might throw me off until I have the piece finished.
In your score for Pee-wee's Big Adventure, the music sounds very inspired by Nino Rota. Is he somebody you've listened to a lot?
Oh, yeah. Nino Rota and Bernard Herrmann would be my two big inspirations in film composition. Those are the two composers that I grew up on, I guess you'd say. And it's their music that inspired me to love film music.
You know, I have all these records of like the great film composers conducting their own scores. Could you ever conduct?
No, I have no desire to conduct at all. First of all, I don't think I'd make a good conductor. But more importantly, film music is played in the theaters through speakers. And even though the music in the room where the orchestra is playing sounds much more lush and wonderful, especially the strings, it's not the way it's going to sound later. And I want to sit in the booth and hear how it sounds through the speakers because the balances really do change. And you'll hear things through the speakers that you won't hear sitting in the room. And also, I want to sit very closely with the director, and most importantly, I want to see exactly how my music is playing against screen, because I'm really a stickler for timings, and I like to see that it's falling exactly where I intended it to.
You know,
if you're conducting, you have to look at the music, and it's hard to actually watch the screen.
Your film for Beetlejuice, especially like in the opening, it really mixes horror and comedy really well.
Well, that's what we were going for.
Right, exactly. And you use terrific orchestrations in it. It's like in the opening, there's a French horn, strings, and tambourine. The tambourine really works in there.
Oh, good. We were afraid that it got out of control.
But, did you really? Oh.
I'm glad you think so.
Did you seriously think it got out of control?
At the time, percussion sometimes in a very live room is hard to control. And whatever level you get it on tape, you can never make it softer again. That's where it's very unlike rock and roll, where you have complete control over everything. In an orchestral piece, you can't change things very much from how they're laid down on tape. You can pull out a woodwind line a little here and there, or a French horn line if you're looking for it, but most of the sound is in the room and is in all the mics, so you have to get it pretty close to the way you want it.